Welcome to Middle School Walk and Talk, a podcast series offering heart, hope, and health to members of our middle school communities. Take a walk with co-hosts Phil Spagel and Joe Mazza as they discuss self-care, student well-being, school culture, and more. Middle School Walk and Talk is a production of the Association for Middle Level Education and is designed to support the concepts outlined in our foundational text, The Successful Middle School, This We Believe. Learn more at amle.org. Today's episode, Kids on Edge.
Hey, Phyllis, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's I can't believe we're just happening. We're starting spring break tomorrow.
I'm so happy for you. I know that is a well-deserved break for you. You're actually podcasting with me in my kitchen. This is my spring break. It's why I look so relaxed right now.
I've never seen you look more relaxed in all, three, 4 years I've known you now. So that's a great thing. Good for you. I'm hoping to feel that way starting tomorrow at this time.
Yes. Yes. And I heard you had an eventful start to your day today.
Yeah. Me and many other schools in the area. And I think across the country, when, something terrible happens at a school, there's usually tremors on the coming days and weeks later on where you have unsubstantiated threats and whatnot. And that's what happened this morning, at the high school. And of course, you've got siblings and parents, and when they get that announcement, then the communication starts flowing. And so we met with our staff after school and whatnot. And
what was the call that you got? What exactly happened?
Well, there was a call that came into the local police department that was, unsubstantiated, but it put the high school into a lockdown, an unplanned lockdown. And, when you have administrators and teachers that aren't aware that that's going to happen, it creates another layer of stress and trauma. And that's what a lot of our people, not just at the high school, but all the schools, anybody connected to the high school as siblings. I had a couple teachers with kids there, and we just want to get that information out as quickly as possible, and reassure people, and parents calling here, worried about how their middle schoolers are going to be worried about their high school siblings. So we took those calls, reassured them that per the superintendent's communication, classes are back on as scheduled. The building's been cleared, and so we privately pulled out a couple kids, with their parents' knowledge and permission to reassure them so they could kind of go about their day and not worry about that, outside of all the other stresses that an adolescent has today.
Yes, for sure. And as we're recording this, it's right on the heels of what happened in Tennessee. So I'm sure everybody was particularly on edge today. I see kids in private practice too. And something that I'm seeing more and more of compared to years past is middle schoolers who are dealing with fears about lockdowns and fears even simply about a fire drill. It's a trigger for them and needing some exposure therapy to cope with it. And in the school setting, I have students who've asked for a heads up if we know that there's going to be a drill. And I think it's hard to overestimate how much the events over the last, over their entire lives have impacted how they experience seemingly routine drills, even let alone calls with uncertain outcomes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know that this was mentioned even one time in my practicum way back when in becoming an educator. This is something that is on your mind, no matter who you are. You're a human being. You can't help but hear and see the stories and repeat itself. Never thought I'd be in year 23 of my career and have that be a thing that is still kind of not dealt with. There's a lot of conversation in communities about what's the best practice as it relates to safety. We just want to do everything we can based upon our policies and procedures to be as safe as we can and utilize the student lenses, the parent lenses, the staff lenses to continue to keep us safe, as we roll forward. We have a security guard here at the school. An unarmed security guard. That is a structure that we have in this district. All schools do. That person, helps people check in, make sure that the right people are coming into our school and whatnot. But you know, it's not like we have security outside all the buildings and, you know, making sure that people don't come in and out. So yeah, it's one of the things that any educator in this country is unfortunately used to dealing with. And students, I feel like, are getting there too. You know, just based upon conversations and what kids are talking about.
Did you have teachers who needed reassurance today as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, first and foremost, the two teachers that have kids at the high school, that were unable to talk with those kids and, you know, but heard the, you know, the superintendent's message to them. So, you know, those were the first two people that I reached out to once I learned that everything was clear and whatnot. But yeah, it's a worry. You know, it's an absolute worry. And, you know, if the teachers aren't in the right mindset to focus on their teaching, then, you know, it's really hard to expect them to bring their A game, you know, to their classes. They are professionals through and through, but, you know, there's a human element to that worry and that trauma and reflecting right back to any number of terrible things that have happened to schools over the years. And, you know, super thankful and grateful that, you know, the result was a, you know, an unsubstantiated report.
It's really hard to wrap my mind around all of the violence. I was dropping my 14-year-old off at school just before the break, and I noticed there was a fence that hadn't been there before, a locked fence, where prior to that, he had been able to just walk on campus. And I said to him, "Is that new?" And he said, "Well, it's been there a little while." And I said, "When did it go up?" And he said, "I think it went up after one of the last shootings in the neighborhood, one of the last." And
yeah, Lord.
Yes. And he said it pretty matter of fact, but it's, we should not ever get to a point where we can talk about that in a matter of fact way. But I'm glad everything was okay. I know that we were a little delayed getting onto the Zoom today because you were writing a letter to families. And I'm sure for you, it's hard to be sending another one of those letters home to parents.
No, I mean, I'm one of the many principals that have written the same letter in different words, time and time again. Let's talk about some more upbeat things.
I see in your office, I see that you have a karaoke machine. Can we talk about that?
Yes. Yes. So yes, we have a karaoke machine. One of our students saw it on Shark Tank, because we do some Shark Tank here in our school, STEM from our STEAM Center. And it is something that we are going to break out tomorrow, because it just came and I put it together, and I may or may not have been playing with it this week after hours to see how it worked. And when you have faculty come into the dining commons and all of a sudden just start belting out some of our students' favorite songs, we're going to record it. So you'll probably see something on Twitter in the next day or so.
That's so.
But on the other side of break, we're going to have a day a week where we have, it's karaoke day. And, you know, I think it'll be a hit. So we're putting together the cart that this is going to live on and come in and out on that day. So yeah, you know, anything we can do to bring music into the school, kids are all, you know, even us, right? Music is so big a part of our lives. Why not? Why don't we have more music? You shouldn't just go to music class and that's the music that you get. So we're trying to find ways to do that. We're also trying to continue to respond to what kids want to be doing and seeing during their breaks of the day. And that 38-minute lunch recess period is the only true break they have during a very structured day. So let's have a blast. And I kind of think it's going to be a hit with the staff too at next faculty meeting on the other side of spring break.
The more you embarrass yourselves in front of your students, the more they'll love it. Although you have no idea where you're going to end up on social media when all is said and done.
It's very true. It's very true.
I see videos in your future.
I'm willing to take the risk. So we have some special guests coming up this spring on this show. Some of them will actually be here in my school this spring. And both of them you've written about. And I've met one of them at the conference, who's a total rock star. Let's talk about those folks.
Yeah, so we have two upcoming podcasts that I'm really excited about. The first one, I'm hoping we will be joined by some of your students to talk about peer influence with everything going on in schools right now involving just behavior contagion and all of the usual developmental stuff that goes on in middle school with kids wanting to, you know, fit in, find their place, impress their peers, make people laugh, doesn't always lead to the best decisions. And so there's some really interesting research about that. And then we'll have kids talk about peer influence from their perspective. And then after that, we're going to do an episode on how we can help kids stand up to hate speech and hate behavior. And that's something that I'm especially interested in. I'm currently writing an article about that for the Washington Post. And we will be joined in that episode by both Jen Court, who's a diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging practitioner, and Samir Hinduja from cyberbullying.org, who's a professor at Florida Atlantic and has done so much really, really interesting, terrific, helpful research around kids and developing their resilience, both digital resilience and offline resilience.
Fantastic. You know, we have seen, like many other middle schools and high schools, a rise in hate speech incidents. You know, we've had so many conversations with kids proactively, reactively. I've met with more parents than I've met with in any school year by December this year. And, you know, the good news is those conversations need to happen. I find that when we're in those conversations, even at sixth and seventh grade, we're oftentimes having the first conversation they've ever had about this. So that's what I'm learning through this, is we need to, like, early intervention, like literacy, we need to continue to go down. And what is the root? Where do we start having this conversation? Because as soon as those kids have access to the phone, can play Grand Theft Auto and hear seven different versions of hate speech in the first 15 minutes. No joke. I heard it. I played it with my son. And then we had to outlaw the game, right? Bad dad or like, oh my gosh, right? But this is real life. Our kids are being desensitized from a lot of these terms through video games. Not an excuse, but definitely that's something that many of our kids, you know, that when they're not with us and their parents see them on the machine with their headphones on, we don't always know what they're hearing. That blew me away. I did not think that was, you know, something that I was going to be exposed to in that short of time. But we're learning a lot about this. I'm reading all over the place every day. There's more and more reports of things that people think are really terrible. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, if you think that's terrible, then, you know, I think there's lots of examples. And the phones seem to be at the root of a lot of these things. We just had our incoming fifth grade orientation, and usually we spend about 2 minutes on it. I think we spent about 15 minutes on phones and you know, really wanted to make sure the parents heard really strongly from us that unless you're going to read every text, unless you're going to be on every thread, unless you're going to truly monitor this, this isn't like giving your kid, you know, an hour of iPad time, you know, to play their games. This is, you know, your kid can go into the dumps mentally with one thread of a text. So there's a lot of things going on out there. And, you know, I know they were happening before COVID that just seemed to be way up in the numbers that we're dealing with.
Yeah, along those lines, I think some of this goes back to really being able to take somebody else's perspective, to anticipate how your words or your actions will impact someone else. And we all are seeing that drop in social skills. One of the things that I'm hearing from heads of a bunch of schools and seeing myself both in private practice and in the school setting is this inability of kids to really distinguish between something that is mean, meaning they're being excluded, they're being rejected, versus something that's just hard or uncomfortable, meaning they're trying to share a friend with somebody else, or they're finding that when they're in a group with a bunch of people, maybe their joke falls flat. And when they go home, they might convey what happened to their parents in a way that leads the parents or the caregivers to conclude that somebody is targeting them or somebody is bullying them or somebody is being mean. And the parents go straight to that worst case scenario. Maybe they want to talk to the school. Maybe they have broader concerns about their child's social life, as opposed to taking a step back and helping their child deal with the discomfort or figure out what the root cause is or what is making them feel that way. And I think given all of the very big problems, we've talked about hate speech, we've talked about school shootings and warnings, everything has become so heightened and so high level that I think we're almost forgetting to really help kids develop the ability to deal with the more mundane, basic middle school setbacks that they're going to experience along the way, and help parents and help teachers help parents and teachers help students, you know, approach those kinds of challenges in a way that's productive, constructive, and less likely to lead them to feel awful in the end.
Yeah, we have to realize, especially at the middle school level, that we've got these, again, big bodies, little kids inside, and they are learning from our examples and how things are handled, what they need to do as they get older. So if we're modeling your problems are just going to be taken away from you, or we're modeling this is easy, you don't have to work through this, I don't know that we're modeling the right things. So mindset comes, you know, there's a growth mindset. You're not going to get it right the first time. We've got to do a little struggle. You know, but you know, those are some things that as we've had these hate speech conversations, and you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any repeat offenders. But I feel like we've taken a lot of time, sometimes hours at a time, meeting with individual parents with and without students to just help them through this, because it's not on the front page and the front burner of a lot of our families that there's issues out there. And we're not aware of all the conversations. We're not aware of everything that's happening out there. And I think we need to be more aware. And it's hard, but like, that's what we need to do to be the best parents for children in 2023. It's a different world out there.
Yes. And to jump right in and have those conversations with that high level stuff, with the hate speech and things like that. And at the same time, to be able to take a little bit of a step back and let them solve some of those lower level issues that they also want to rescue them from. Something that I heard today from the writer Eileen Kennedy Moore, who's a clinical psychologist, she was sharing some research that I thought was really interesting, is that while adults tend to really need to work through conflict to get to a place of forgiveness or to make a proper apology, adolescents process conflict and deal with conflict differently. They often simply need to take a break from one another, and then they can come back together and just have fun and act as if nothing happened. And that is okay. That's part of how they resolve those disagreements. And we have to allow them to let things go, and we have to be able to model that for them as well and help them assume that positive intent in one another. I think if we can, at that low level, really help kids manage those lower level conflicts with some independence, we're going to see less of the hateful behavior that we're seeing at the extremes, because kids are going to be able to deal with that discomfort in more productive ways rather than lashing out and hurting other people.
Yeah. And when something happens, you know, when we process through it and everybody, we feel good, we come together, and, you know, our counselors support us by having the kids talk through it and, you know, leave it in the rearview mirror, hopefully, we have to check in again. You know, we have to come back in a couple of weeks and check in. We have to check in with home to see if anything's, you know, because things are always evolving. Friends change, and they should, as I learned a lot about in your book. You know, that small percentage of kids that are still friends from middle school to senior year in high school.
1%.
We spent a lot of time normalizing that stat, because parents don't really have any idea about that. Kids think that, you know, their best friend is their best friend. I just saw an article. Did you tweet that?
I was quoted as saying that I hate the term best friend because it's lose-lose. And I do. My students make fun of me because I'm so vehemently opposed to the idea of a quote-unquote best friend, because you have put all your eggs in one basket. So if that relationship doesn't work out, you have no safety net. And at the same time, everybody in your orbit around you is feeling left out like a third wheel. So it really is lose-lose. And we do need to encourage kids to branch out. No one person is going to meet all of your needs. And we don't want them to expect that kind of perfection from themselves or from any one single one of their friends that they're interacting with. So yes, that is 100% true. And along the same lines, when we're looking at these issues kids are having, and you and I were talking about this recently, that because of the big concerns about kids and mental health, sometimes we don't recognize that what they need is some very pragmatic, concrete help. They might be anxious because they're disorganized, or they might be sad because one of those friendships ended, but they're not necessarily depressed. They simply maybe need a lunch group or some help connecting with an appropriate friend or somebody who's a possible future friend. So I do think that one of the challenges, and this is something we can continue to talk about in the upcoming episodes, but one of the challenges of working in a school and working with kids right now is that we are dealing with so many very, very big problems, but it's not like those lower level typical challenges go away. And we have to make sure that we don't neglect them as we're dealing with all of those higher level problems.
So we have some great podcasts coming up. Phyllis, I hope you enjoy the rest of your spring break. And I can't wait to get on mine. I will be looking as relaxed as you next week. We've got some great guests coming up. We're going to hear from students. That's one of the things Phyllis and I have been talking about offline, is just having more students as a part of this podcast. We need to continue to build the student voice across all of us. Students are, and all of us are, it's a stressful time, right? You know, it's spring break. Not everybody is jacked about spring break. State testing is here and coming up. Many districts are back to pre-COVID normal with those tests as well. So the pressure has been turned up a bit. Looking forward to reconnecting, having some special guests on. And Phyllis, enjoy the last couple of days of the break and recharge.
And I hope tomorrow is uneventful and you have a great break yourself.